the first question for you, Sophie, is, do you think Denver can sing?
Oh, piss off, we've not got in at Chinese at the National Youth Theatre, and you're going, I wonder what else I could do. So, obviously, yeah,
it's kind of, it's kind of like you didn't have any idea. I was like, oh, hang on, what am I doing right, what am I doing right now?
Maybe... Say what you see.
Because I think this is quite interesting for you. So, Denver, okay, how does the film end? How do you want to be remembered? What is the next goal? Your ultimate final goal? He's just put, girl, what are you doing in Hong Kong? Hello and welcome back to the You Name It podcast. It's episode 3, Denver. How do you feel about that?
Well, if I'm honest, when you called me about a month ago saying you wanted to do a podcast, I never thought we'd be getting to episode 3. So I guess we've done all right so far, haven't we?
We have got three in the bag. Well, this is the third in the bag, and it is going to be, it's a good one. I'm really excited for it.
Oh, right. We've got a special one. We're going global today, Ricardo.
We are going international today. International is the word to use. But Denver, last week we set each other challenges. We set each other a challenge each. You set me a challenge to make a jingle for the show, and you were asked to bring a slogan to the show. So I'm going to start. Did you bring a slogan to the show? Have you got something?
See, I'm pretty annoyed at you here because I told you before that I haven't brought a slogan, and now you've intentionally brought it up to embarrass me. So no, I've let the team down here, and I haven't got a slogan, I'm afraid. But I assume you haven't got a jingle either. So I guess
well, how the tables have turned. Because
sure. Have you got one?
I have got a jingle for us.
Oh God!
I'll tell you the story. So I was googling barbershop quartets the past couple of weeks, and I'm a massive fan of barbershop quartets. So right. I decided to spend a bit of money on a barbershop quartet to sing us a jingle slash intro. I'm gonna share my screen and sound, and I'm gonna play. Can you see this? Can you hear this? Yeah,
I can see. Yeah, let's see what you've got.
This is our jingle.
You name it with Denver and Ricky.
How's that? Do you think that works?
I have no words. I love it. I love how my name goes first. That's the important part. But yeah, it's brilliant.
I think it's about time to move on.
Well, now I've got egg on my face. I guess, right, I'll have a slogan for you. I will have a slogan.
And like, that is the jingle. We'll play it. You know, it's gonna get... I don't know.
Are we sticking with it?
I think it's great. Like, I was so impressed. But anyway, I think it is time to introduce our international guest. She is a wonderful, wonderful person, a talented singer, actor, dancer, and there's so many things we could say about her. But I would love to welcome Sophie Lee Mercer to the show. So hello, Sophie. How are you?
Hi, oh my goodness, what a lovely intro. Thank you.
First question before we start, what did you think of the jingle?
I actually loved it. It made me laugh.
Yes!
There we go.
It's memorable. It's memorable. So that's what you want really in a jingle. So yes. I feel quite honoured that I've heard that.
Memorable. First, I'll take memorable. That's memorable. All we want from it.
And you are a musician. You are a musician and a singer, so that means a lot. Like that. That's
there you
got
go. Those stamp, words mean a lot.
A stamp of approval on the jingle from Sophie Lee Mercer. So that's all we need. So
yeah, exactly.
Sophie, obviously we are going global today. So Sophie is our she is living in Hong Kong currently right now.
Go on, get your words out. There we go.
I couldn't get my words out then. I got confused. So Sophie is our living in Hong Kong right now, and. So yeah, we're gonna talk to her about. We're gonna do. I've lost my words here. So Denver, you take control again. I've just generally...
See,
just...
Ricky's a bit tired, you see. For those that don't know, obviously with Sophie being in Hong Kong, we've had to adjust for the time difference. So for us, it's 10 in the morning. So I think Ricky's still waking up. So yeah, we apologise if he's about 5 seconds behind everything.
Honestly.
But yeah, we'll move on. Obviously, Ricky knows you really well. And each week, if you've been listening to the podcast, you'll know that we do a get to know you round each week. And it's
and
just
this
to get
is
to
where I am going to cut you off, Denver, because I've remembered my words. Because this week, I have written the get to know you questions because Denver usually does them and he usually gets to know the guests. But this week, I really wanted to do them for you, Sophie. So,
okay.
The first question for you, Sophie, is... Do you think Denver can sing?
Oh, piss off, Ricky.
So, Sophie, if you didn't know...
This is really savage. Is this a yes or no answer?
No, Sophie, we've got a little clip for you. We've got a little clip.
Oh!
So, if you didn't know, me and Denver were in a musical that I wrote and directed and wrote all the score, did all this. I know. I'm
if anyone knows Ricky, they will know that he directed a musical.
They will know how talented I am. And Denver played the main character, having never doing a musical before. And I have got a little clip of Denver giving us a little sing song. So I'm going to share this
you,
on
you've
here.
You've done me in here, Ricardo. So,
can you you've see this? Can you see this, Sophie? Can you see this?
Yeah, I can see it.
So we'll give you like a couple of seconds and I want to see if you think Denver can sing.
We'll end in despair. I had it right in front of me. Do you even care? You've teased me, you've pushed me. Every boundary and broken decision is mine. Your last lines have been spoken.
Ah.
Bernie, help me make
this no.
Do I choose you or do I choose
Right, I think that's enough.
So, Sophie...
I just want to say Denver's face during all of that was an absolute picture.
Painful.
Watching himself do that.
Painful, it but, was. Painful experience.
But Sophie, the question is, do you think Denver can sing?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Oh, stop lying!
Yay!
Stop
See, lying. I like you, Sophie. I like you already. Perfect.
No.
Yeah, I told
no.
you, right?
We tried everything, but no, I'm not gonna be that person.
You can take the mic as much as you want, Ricky, but you were the director. You gave me that position. You gave me that role. That was on you.
And I regret it so much.
Have you got a would you rather, Ricky?
Yeah, so we always do a would you rather as well, Sophie. So here we go. Oh,
see that, moving on quickly.
Moving on, away from him.
Right, this is an interesting one. Would you rather meet George Washington or the current president of the United States, Joe Biden?
I would rather meet Joe Biden. Easy decision.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
You'd rather meet Joe Biden than George Washington?
Yeah.
Why?
Well... Because Joe Biden's like now, and I feel like I want to know what he's going to do with the country right now. I want to know how he's going to sort out his country and the world and the issues.
And you and George.
Like he's been there, you know, done that.
You don't have
like,
much in common, do you?
Yeah, exactly. So.
Me calling him George.
Sophie George, just, you know, going to
talk. Birthday basis. Yeah.
And finally, the get to know you question that we need to know from everyone because it is as of huge importance. Obviously, you're in Hong Kong now, so I don't know if you want a name within Hong Kong or within the UK, but what is your favourite supermarket?
Oh, that is a good one.
Big questions.
All right, I know exactly what it is because you can get it both in Hong Kong and the UK. It's an absolute staple. Little bit pricey, but I think it's worth it. Marks and Spencer's.
Marks and Sparks.
I knew it.
Marks and Sparks.
See, as a former employee, I did know they have two branches of Marks and Spencer's in Hong Kong.
There you go. Yeah, it's right. Honestly the best. It's really kind of the only place we can get like proper British food out here. So we love it, the Brits in Hong Kong.
There we go.
All the shelves are gone.
That's
so, yeah,
a point for M&S, Ricardo.
Yes, yeah, that's a point. That's a point. We've had Asda and... No, we haven't had Asda. We've had Aldi and Morrison's so far.
Morrison's.
So,
I'm going to go M&S.
I thought Morrison's...
Right, shall we talk about the actual reason we're here?
Yes,
anyway?
The reason why we've got... thank you for indulging us. A little bit there.
Yeah, in that nonsense. So, Sophie, obviously you're here to speak about the movie of your life, whether that's about your creative journey, your personal one, or a bit of both. First of all, as we always ask all of our guests, who is the person to play you in this movie and why?
I thought about this quite a lot, and my initial instincts, I was going for people that are way too cool for me. Which I guess is nice, but also I was like, nah, like they're too cool. I can't do that. So,
what's an example of someone who's too cool?
Okay, so initially I was like, oh, Lily James, like I love her, like she'd be amazing. And then I was like, nah, like she was an amazing young Meryl Streep. Like I'm aiming too high there.
Yeah. Why not? It's your movie.
I tried to think about someone that I think also looks like me, but could also play me as myself and my personality. And I'm going to go with Daisy Edgar-Jones. I only saw her in Normal People, so I know that's really bad to base off one thing that I've seen her in. But I thought she was, like, phenomenal. Her acting and that was insane. It was so subtle, but just so interesting and captivating to watch that I feel like she would be someone pretty amazing to play me.
So it's very current as well, because Daisy Edgar-Jones, she's kind of like the star of lockdown. Normal People took off, didn't it, during last year? And because of how relatable it was to kind of real life, it was there. So it's a good choice.
As well, that show was just so relatable in itself that I think probably everyone kind of saw a bit of themselves in it somewhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really, there were moments in it that I was like, oh, I can relate to that. So yeah, I feel like I would want her to play me.
There we go. Nice and easy. We've got the actress. We've got that already. So we move on to the movie itself. And how does the movie kind of start? Where does your journey begin?
So weird that I'm sitting here in Hong Kong right now, but it would start in Hong Kong. This is where I was born. And it would probably start from my earliest memory, which was going to ballet class. So I went to ballet when I was 2. We were meant to be 3 when we went, and I cried because I wanted to go and I wanted to be with my sister. So they let me in when I was 2. And my earliest memory was running around this fountain, which is still, the fountain's not there, but the place where it was is still there in Hong Kong. And all the kids used to play out in the street on our scooters or whatever. And I used to run around in my ballet stuff and then go upstairs to the ballet class. So the film, I've got the shot envisioned in my brain, being a wide shot with the fountain in the middle, with kids running around, everything super happy, super chill. And yeah, that would be it, being my first experience going to ballet
class. That sounds amazing. I'm just going to ask a question saying, we spoke a lot about dance already there, like ballet dancing and stuff like that. What is the genre of this film? Is there a lot of like dance involved in it, or is it like, what is there any specific things that would happen like in a, like that wouldn't usually happen in a normal film?
So I think part of it would kind of have a bit of a musical theater vibe, but I wouldn't really want it to be musical theater as a genre. I feel like it would kind of be a little bit artsy. I don't know if you ever watched this show. It's a really old show called Mr. Ben. And my dad used to watch it, and then he let us watch it, and my papa used to watch that before him. So it's kind of been passed down the generations. And what it was this guy who went into a costume shop, and he'd try on a costume and go through a door, and then he'd go on some kind of adventure wearing that costume.
Okay.
So I feel like it would be quite cool within the film that there's moments that I kind of go through like certain doors into different parts and experiences in my life. And I feel like some doors in my life have kind of just like shut behind me, and it's like, cool, that chapter's closed.
Yeah.
And then there's other things like Hong Kong that I didn't really think I'd be coming back to. I left when I was 3, and I'm coming back. I came back when I was 22, I'm now 23. So that door's kind of was closed for a little bit, but wasn't quite locked. It's still kind of kept open. So
see, I know we're talking like about...
Yeah.
Sorry, I know we're talking about your movie here, but I can already see the stage version of this as well. See, you, can't you? Yeah. All the doors and everything. It's already set up for West End.
We've already got, we got a film, West End, musical version, touring version. We're going to sell this. This has got a lot
of... It's going to go global. We're ready for it. Yeah.
It is. It's, we could have a Hong Kong version, a London... Everything is coming with this show. And this is what I love about this. But So the next question we have is, what is the plot twist? What do you reckon is the biggest moment in this movie for you?
This was probably the easiest question to answer, strangely. So I have a very defining moment in both my life and creative journey that literally changed everything. That was when I was 18. So I was meant to be doing Chinese at uni. It was all set up. I was meant to go to Edinburgh Uni. And yeah, I was meant to do Chinese and I didn't get the grades in my A-levels, which was like massive shock for me. I'd always been quite academic at school and I couldn't believe that I didn't get the grades. And on the day itself, results day, I was at the National Youth Theatre. I think it was day three of being there. And I literally woke up, saw on my phone, rejected from all of my top two offers.
Oh, no.
And I was in absolute like, meltdown mode, yeah. Crying, like not sure what to do, freaking out. I was calling up all these unis and literally no one would take me for Chinese. So I went into my course. So we did, I think it was 4 hours in the morning and then a break and then another 4 hours. And I went in, no uni plan, no one would take me, being like, cool, I'm not going to uni, like it's not going to happen. I'm going to have to redo my A-levels. And then I just kind of forgot about it in the break. I was like, you know, I'm just going to use this as a chance to forget. And at lunchtime, we used to sit on this hill. And I remember so specifically going to the top of the hill and FaceTiming my dad and my mom, who were in China, being like, what am I going to do? So that absolute meltdown. And they were like, look, you should apply for drama. You should change and you should see if you can get in for drama. So my mom luckily had written down a couple of like numbers to call. First number on the list was Royal Holloway. Called the number, said I wanted to do drama, told them my grades, and I was ready to like sell myself, and I was absolutely like ready to be like, please take me, I'm ready, like I'm at National Youth, I can do it. And they just accepted me. They were like, yeah, like that's fine, you can come and do drama. And that was it.
So then you were set on doing Chinese, but it was on the clearing day, on results day, went, screw it, I'm going to go to drama. From Chinese to drama.
From Chinese. Because I'd always wanted to go to drama school, but it's always that thing with creatives, isn't it? Like, no, do something proper first and, like, get a degree in something and then do the drama after. So that was the plan. And then just when they accepted me for drama and it was, like, the best 3 years of my life, like, completely changed it and then got into Lipper the year after. So I don't think that would have happened, so... amazing.
So prior to that, obviously, you said you started ballet as a child, so I assume you carried on pursuing that. Was acting always kind of alongside that as well as a kid growing up?
Yeah, I've kind of been acting as long as I can remember, like school plays and all that, but I wasn't sure. I always wanted to be an actress, I always said that, but I wasn't sure if it was realistically gonna be a feasible career, and I wasn't sure if my heart was ready to kind of go into that industry and get broken down and just accept the constant kind of feedback of no, you're not good enough, or whatever it was, or and I think as well the strange thing about that year as well was I'd auditioned 2 years for the National Youth Theatre and not got in, and on my third attempt getting in when I was 18 was the year that all of this happened, and that happened at the National Youth Theatre, and it just kind of all made sense. I was like, there's a reason I didn't get in the 2 years before. There's a reason that I'm meant to be doing this. So
you sat there having not got in at Chinese at the National Youth Theatre, and you're going, I wonder what else I could do. So obviously,
it's kind of like you didn't have any idea. I was like, oh, hang on, what am I doing right? What am I doing right now?
Say what you see.
And then looked around and I was like, well, this is quite fun. It's been quite a good
time. Instead of doing... obviously you talk about going to the National Youth Theatre. What was that experience like? What was it? Me and Denver have never done the National Youth Theatre. So what is it like being there, auditioning for it, doing shows with it?
Yeah, oh my gosh, amazing. So the auditions that I did, the first year I auditioned, I was absolutely terrified. I'd never done any kind of audition outside of school plays before. And I was completely unprepared. And I went in and I was 15. I was with a lot of kind of people older than me who were more confident. And I remember just shaking the entire time. Like, I was so scared. And I did my monologue and I just knew that I probably wasn't going to get in. And my second year, I really worked hard and I really thought I had a chance. And then when I didn't get in, I was obviously disappointed. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go for it one more time and see what happens. And yeah, when I got in, I really was terrified. I wasn't really sure what to expect because I've kind of been auditioning for so long for it that finally it happened. But I had just the most amazing time. It was great. My course was 3 weeks and we had a course leader, an assistant course leader. And yeah, that was it. And you basically just messed about in a rehearsal room and then created some kind of performance at the end. But just being in that space with a bunch of other people that were so talented, and you know that it's really hard to get in and you know that everyone is there for a reason, was like really reassuring. And like, actually, even though there were a lot of amazing people, I sat there and I was like, you know what? I think I am as good as these people.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think all the time, there's definitely certain things like clowning, oh my God, hate it. And there's things that I know I'm not as good at, like improv, not my thing. But then there were other things that I could see like, oh no, hang on, like this is where my strength is. So I do deserve to be here. So that was definitely a defining moment in
Yeah, I was going to say, the MIT definitely seems like it gave you that reassurance when you were saying for so long you didn't realise if you could pursue acting seriously. Getting into it definitely seemed to have changed that. But yeah, speaking of working with talented people, you have worked very closely with my dear friend, Mr. Ricardo.
Hello.
I have.
You actually created a company yourselves, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. Us and 5 others. So 7 of us in total. We created Confetti Theatre Company. Big it up.
Confetti Theatre Company. I don't know. I was going to say,
because it's a little bit of promotion there.
Yeah.
It was
give him a name drop.
So Jacob B, Liz, Alison. You put me on the spot, Sophie.
It's good if you can remember them, Ricky.
I would love to give a massive shout out to Jacob, Alison, Liz, Ellie, Nick Pierce, Sophie Mercer, and myself.
And yourself.
I knew there was one more.
We ask all of the people that come on this show that have worked with Ricky, in 3 words, explain what it's like to be directed by Ricardo Alexander, please.
You know what? If this isn't nice, you were nice to him.
I'm going
to
say, you'll probably be nicer than Daryl.
It will be nice. I'm just trying to think of the right words.
That's a good answer.
I'd actually say reassuring for you, Ricky. You're a very reassuring director.
What can I say?
After every scene, even if we completely messed up and we had to go back and do it again, Ricky was like, don't worry, take a breath, you're doing great. That bit was great. He was really reassuring. It was nice. So reassuring. Positive.
Look how angry Denver's getting.
Reassuring, positive, and I'd say a little bit chaotic. Sorry, Ricky. But that's not a bad
thing.
That's
one thing I will agree with.
I'll take that.
That's not a bad one thing. Yeah, so what you saw there was my face of surprise when you used the word reassuring, because let me tell you a story about directing with Ricky, because he definitely matured between his degree and master's level. Because when he was directing me, there was this one time where I think it was about 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks before the show. We were about 2 weeks into rehearsal.
I don't know where this is going.
We were just doing a rehearsal and we were singing the songs, that we've just written, literally just written. And I think a couple of us forgot the words. It wasn't the best rehearsal, admittedly, but it was one of the first times we've really got the songs up on its feet. We finished, we turn around to Ricky, sat there with a face like a smacked ass, his hands on his face, not saying anything. And we ask him, what's up? And he just goes, nothing. Do you know what? Take an early lunch. We'll talk about this tomorrow. And he walked out of the room. So reassuring was not a word that I ever thought would be associated with Ricky. So clearly he's learned from those lessons. He's learned from
clearly,
those lessons.
Something's changed there. We went from diva to being actually quite humble.
I think maybe I matured over the process of Lipper.
I think you matured throughout the process. Like, looking at where you started your Lipper journey, Ricky, like, honestly, and, like, where, like, at the end, I think you really matured just in that year alone. So, yeah, obviously, I mean, you have changed since your BA.
I mean, this is all getting a bit too nice for Ricky here.
So, I know, I'm used
to it. I'm not sure if I like this. This was about you, Sophie. So moving on to other bits, like, let's kind of fill the puzzle to your movie and throw some other bits in. Because when I, obviously, meeting you for the first time, I did a little bit of research about you and all of that, asking Ricky, what were your credentials? Dancing, acting, I think you can play the piano. You can play the flute, you sing, you've been a musical director,
your
final piece is a postmodern dance piece. You've done so much in such a short space for someone who, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, was in tears over not being able to get into studying Chinese. Yeah. So it's remarkable. But one thing that stood out for me is, and I hope I've got this right, but you have acted at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Is that correct?
Yes, I have. Yeah, wow. I did that in 2018. Yeah, so okay. 3 years ago now.
And how was that?
Oh, amazing. Edinburgh Fringe, if you haven't been, is bonkers.
I was actually there that year, actually.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I might have seen you.
Yeah, you were. Weirdly, then, weird you say that. We had a girl on our course, Georgie, who was at the Edinburgh Fringe at the same time as me and saw my performance.
Oh, really?
But before we met each other on the MA course. So she'd seen me perform like 2 years before we actually met.
Did she remember? So,
no.
I didn't know whether you got like a celebrity moment when she was like, "You're from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival."
I wish, but no, I had loads of makeup on, so I'm going to blame it on that. But it was amazing. If you haven't been to Edinburgh Fringe, anyone who's listening, you should definitely go. And I really think for anyone who's like into performing, directing, it's the place to be. It's so. It's kind of a bit bonkers. It was a bit of a whirlwind. We were up there for a week and we performed six shows, I believe. Yeah. But between that, we performed on the Royal Mile. So it was kind of constant. And because it was a musical, it was full on. So we kind of got up in the morning. We did hair, makeup, which was, again, we had loads of stuff to do. Everyone had like back-combed hair and like different sort of makeup on. We were all forest creatures, so that took a while. Vocal warm-up, physical warm-up, and then when you get to Edinburgh, because booking the spaces are quite expensive, you get something like a 10-minute get-in time and get-out time.
Yeah.
And it's manic. So you literally, we had loads of set, we had boxes, we had a whole orchestra. So we had to kind of shove everything in for 10 minutes, get all our props set up, do the show, get it all out, and then afterwards go to the Royal Mile and then perform on the stage just in the street. So it was
crazy. So your movie then. So we've set the scene. We've got Daisy Edgar Jones playing yourself, Sophie. It starts, we said, with the wide angle of the streets of Hong Kong with this famous fountain of the area. You're kind of doing your ballet. you're 2 years old, doing a little dancing. And obviously your journey as we move forward, your ballet, your acting, your National Youth Theatre, and obviously the heartbreak of not getting into your university, but the redemption of actually creating all of this and the reason why you're acting. So yeah, my favourite plot twist so far. I don't know about you, Ricky.
It was a great plot twist, actually. I was left on edge. I think I've even heard I've heard that story before, and I still was like, "Where's this going?" So I like that. Like it was.
Overall, it'd be a movie spectacular. I'm honestly blown away with how much you have done, Sophie. So the final question to kind of round up
this movie spectacular is the movie ending. How do you want the movie to end? With this question, it can be tough. It can be how you want to be remembered, or even just end it currently, if you like.
Could I just add something to this? So, Sophie, on our notes, do you want me to put what Denver has actually written? Because I think this is quite interesting for you. So Denver, okay, how does the film end? How do you want to be remembered? What is the next goal? Your ultimate final goal? He's just put, girl, what are you doing in Hong Kong? So maybe that's the question he was looking to get to. But I don't know. Girl, what are you doing in Hong Kong?
This is what happens when you create your notes at 11:30 in the evening.
That's been my favourite question today. What are you doing in Hong Kong? Because I'm asking myself the same thing.
So this is
a really tough question, this whole how is the film going to end? If you'd asked me this question this time last year, I probably would have said, oh, I go on to have a great career in theatre, maybe film. And then probably settle down with a family, and I hopefully want to open my own ballet school, drama school, and have a nice life. And then the coronavirus hit, and everything is kind of turned upside down. So I'm teaching out here at the moment. I'm teaching English at a learning center. It's definitely not a forever job. So this is a section in the story. It's not the ending. But I think I'm going to probably see if I can do some more educational stuff with kids, but more in theatre, and kind of start that route first. So I'm almost doing things in reverse. And then kind of wait and see how the industry goes, and then start auditioning for things, get an agent, hopefully get into some theatre stuff. But I like to leave my film open-ended, because right now I haven't got a clue where I'm going to be in a couple of months, let alone a couple of years. So yeah, I think
very realistic ambitions as well.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, so but no, definitely a career in theatre will happen in the end of my film. Just don't know when.
Nice. Go on, Ricky.
And I think I'm just going to say something quite nice, because you've said something nice about me, Sophie, as well throughout this podcast. I think when I've worked with you beforehand, like in Doomsday and Confetti, you've always been absolutely brilliant to work with. You're such a hard worker and you're a very talented person. Like, that, I don't think there is anything you can't do. Like, you can speak different languages, you can play instruments, you can act, you can dance. Like, there isn't anything you can't do. And I'm
not boosting my ego right now.
I'm not.
My ego.
But like, I think you've got a really exciting future ahead of you anyway. And I think whether it be Hong Kong, whether it be Hong Kong or England, I think there's gonna be some exciting things. And like, I think you should be really.
Oh, thank you.
I know, I've been nice, haven't I? I like know. That. I've been nice.
We don't usually do this to each other, but
We just usually criticize each other over voice notes. Yeah, that's it. It's just like, what are you doing? why are you we haven't even spoke about you teaching me Chinese, which I think is something that I would love to bring up. So I had an audition for to go to Universal Studios. I know. Big to go and
pick that name up, Ricky.
Go to Universal Studios and to work in China and Japan, and I had to learn a Chinese monologue. And Sophie can speak fluent Chinese, and
no, I cannot speak it. I can speak it to have a conversation, but yeah, I can speak it.
So me and Sophie spent a lot of time I spent a lot of time sending videos of me speaking Chinese to Sophie, and I'll get a clip of it if people want to see it, but it took a while, Sophie, didn't it? It did take a lot.
Or is it clear? Is it clear why he didn't get the role?
I'll be honest. I think Ricky's lucky that I was patient, because I came back from being out at the shops, and I had no joke 35 videos the same monologue over and over and over again, and I went through every single one to find out which one was better. So
exactly,
should I put in to you, Ricky?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. The dedication is there, and I can now tell you how to get to Hogwarts Castle in Chinese, and I think that's all I need to know.
That's all you need to
that's
know.
That's all I need to know. But so we've digressed a little bit from the film, but Sophie, obviously you're a very musical person. You play a lot of instruments. You've even musically directed a show. So what is the defining song of your film? Is it a defining song, or maybe is there a composer you've got in mind for this film?
Okay, you're gonna hate me because you bigged me up with all like this musical accolade. And I'm gonna give the most generic white girl answer.
Go on, that's what we want. That's what we want.
Yes.
It's also slightly plagiarism because they've already done it. Ah, my Zoom has just gone. Okay, I'm back. So I'm gonna say the band and the artist that I would want is ABBA.
Right.
Don't shoot me. Don't shoot me. I can back I swear there is an
ABBA soundtrack type film. I can't think of the name, but I swear there's a couple of them.
But I'm gonna back it up. So ABBA has been honestly the one. I go through a lot of phases with my music of like some days I'll love things and then I'll hate it like the next week. ABBA's been the one like constant thing throughout my life that I've literally, no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what mood I'm in, ABBA always gets me through. Like,
yeah.
And I think it's also been like, this is more of like, this is going a bit deeper, but I obviously grew up in China, I was there till I was 12. And coming back to the UK, I realized I had been exposed to very, very different music taste. Yeah. And ABBA, when I came back as this weird like girl that'd been living in China, was like the one thing that everyone knew and we could all sing and dance to. That for me, ABBA's just, can't be. And it's so feel good. And I want my mom to be. I want it to be feel good.
But can we have the one ABBA song? What is the one, what is your favorite ABBA song?
Yeah, what's the credits going to?
Knowing me, no
credits.
Aha.
It would have to be Dancing Queen.
So this is brilliant. One thing that I know is, Ricky, if we're producing and getting budget for this movie, we need a big, big budget. We need to be recording in Hong Kong. We need to be recording in the UK. We need to be covering Edinburgh, the Youth Theatre. We need to get rights for all ABBA songs.
Do you know what?
It's not going to be a cheap one.
I like about this as well? This is the only one so far that I think I may have a chance of directing.
Yeah. I like, because she's too nice to say no to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, I got told I was I think this might be my breakthrough film, I think. Breakthrough film and theatre thing. But we've come to the last question. And
no.
We have come to the last question and we need to know, what is the title of the movie? I'm excited for this and I think it could go either way.
No, you could guess 100 guesses and you'll never guess what I'm going to say with this one. So hopefully that makes it a little bit interesting.
Let's see.
I've got one guess. Can we have three guesses? So
three guesses, off you go.
So not but just between us. So my first guess, I'm going to say, is it Dancing Queen? Is it like Mamma Mia? Oh, okay.
I can't do Mamma Mia. That's already been done.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about you just tell us?
No, I want it. It's a guessing game, Denver.
I can't just tell you because Ricky definitely won't have a clue with this one because it's in Chinese.
I'm so excited for this.
So it's two words, and I've really thought about this, and it's again, there's deep meaning, so I'll go through it. So the two words for the film would be Jiayou, which in Chinese basically means like keep going, like come on, like. So when you're at a sporting match, everyone will be like, Jiayou, Jiayou, Jiayou. And it basically just means like, go, 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 like keep going. And I feel like that's quite a good mantra to have in life.
Nice,
just keep going.
Jiayou. I like that.
If you take the word Jia written differently, different Jia, it means home. And the word Yo differently, again, means have. And so technically it could also mean like to have a home, which I feel like theatre has given me. So,
Wow, you've brilliant. That is brilliant.
That is so smart.
What? Yo.
Yeah,
I'm saying that right. Am I saying that right? Yeah, I was going to say, we'll have to have the actual way of writing it as well. Because I don't think it is J-A-Yo.
It's J-Yo. Look at Ricky practicing again.
J-Yo.
Mika-Yi. When he practices Mandarin.
Nikkei. Well, Sophie, I don't know about you, Ricky, but that is one Hollywood blockbuster movie.
Hollywood.
And it's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you and chatting to you this morning, slash this evening for yourself. And thank you for taking your time out for doing this with us, because I've really enjoyed it.
No,
I think
thank you so much, both of you, for having me. Like, this has been so fun. So really, thank you for having me on. I feel very honoured to be a guest. So thank you.
I think it would be a wasted opportunity, Denver, if we didn't get Sophie to say thank you for listening in Chinese.
Well, I was also going to ask if Sophie could do one final thing for us.
Oh, no.
So obviously, we're in the middle of creating a new podcast and trying to promote. And we're about to discuss this, but we've actually come up with a logo as well. If we were to print out a little logo or something for you, would you be able to get that into the streets of Hong Kong?
Absolutely. I'll do it.
So we want to see a picture of our poster in a window somewhere.
What I want to do, I want one better. You mentioned that fountain. You mentioned that place is still there.
Yes.
No, it's not there anymore. The fountain. Oh. I can take a picture of the spot where it was.
I want a picture of the spot with the logo. And this is the advertising campaign starting in Hong Kong.
Starting here.
Starting right now. Love it. We're gonna get famous in Hong Kong, and it's gonna be brilliant. But I think that is everything. I think we've done everything. And so, Sophie, thank you once again for coming on. And
yeah, brilliant.
Thank you so much. I'm gonna stop recording now. Wow. That's all.
Oh,
I've
brilliant
got.
Work.
That honestly, that was one of. Well, we've only done three, but that was a brilliant episode. I think the three people we've had on so far have all been really, really good. But that one was very entertaining. And she's lovely, isn't she, Sophie? She's absolutely
She is.
So lovely. And
Zha Yo is a movie I would very much want to see, to be honest.
Do you know what's really funny? I love it in a Yorkshire twang. Like,
Zha Yo.
She said it so eloquently. Zha Yo. I love that. But Denver, you have put me in it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you're going to have to create a logo now, mate, as well.
I mean...
Do your barbershop quartet people do logos as well? Just get them to sing you a logo, I don't know.
Oh, that's... Well, you've got to come up with a slogan.
Yeah, mate, I am... I've got too much work, mate. I've got to come up with a slogan. I would help you.
So yeah, and then I'm generally, that's going to be brilliant when we get a picture of it in Hong Kong. That is great salesmanship right there.
See, there you go, mate.
I love that.
I'm a salesman first and foremost, love mate. That. Always think it. So, up here for thinking, down there for dancing.
If you did enjoy this podcast, please go follow us on Twitter, Instagram.
All the socials.
And you can listen to this either on Spotify or wherever you get your pod. It will be available on YouTube as well. So if you want to go subscribe to us there. Now, if you do have any questions for us, please send us an email on...
You name it. younameit.pod@gmail.com.
So if you do have any questions for us, or if you know someone that you think would be really interesting to get on, then give us a shout, give us an email, and we'll go through I don't think there's going to be many, but we'll go through as many as we can.
Yeah, we'll go through all three of them. And it'll be our mums going, "You're doing a great job, kids. Keep it up."
It'll be Daryl, Sophie, and David all going like, "Where's the pod? Why isn't it out yet? Like, we want it. Why did you say this about us?" But honestly, thank you so much for listening. And if you did enjoy it, please give us a like, and so hopefully we'll have some great episodes more to come.
Keep this momentum going, Ricardo.
We've got to keep the momentum going.
Plus we've got nothing better to do, really, have we?
This is our title charge.
What's that mean? Oh, charge you for title, as in like football, trophy. Yeah,
trophy. We'll be back with some more guests. So see you then, and enjoy your week. Goodbye.
Enjoy your week, guys.